Welcome to Southern Hospitality. I'm Elizabeth Gordon. Thanks for joining us today. We've got an interesting show for you today, and Dana Barrett, my lovely co-host, is here in the studio with me.
Feeling very hospitable, as
always. And we're pleased to welcome C.K. Patel into the studio, who is with the Asian American Hotel Owners Association. C.K., welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So tell me about the Asian American Hotel Owners Association. There are a lot of hotels here in Georgia. I've noticed since we've been doing this show, actually, there's a lot of hotels that are owned by people in the Asian American community. It's a pretty big group of people. How did you get involved? What's your background? And tell us more about the association.
Yeah, this group started back in 1988-89.
Wow.
That was the initial stage. It was actually started by president of the Days Inn at that time, Mike Levin, who called us and said, your group is big. You need to start the association to fight for the fairness. And that's how we started the group back in 1989.
So now what were you doing at the time?
At that time, I was a hotelier. I was a Days Inn owner.
And
I was luckily to be part of that first meeting, which was an ad hoc committee we had created.
Gotcha.
And I was part of the team at that time. And I was pretty young at that time and stayed with
Weren't
them.
We all young at that time? Oh, the good old days.
Well, I always call myself that I'm still 21. So.
Me too. I like it. And we're on radio, so no one can tell.
Right, right.
That's right. We all look fabulous.
Yeah, but today we have grown to about close to 12,000 members.
Wow.
Our membership owns about 45% of the hospitality, mid-scale hospitality in the United States.
45%?
45%, right. That includes anything from mom-and-pop hotels to all the way up to the W. There are three W's in Atlanta, which are owned by our community member,
so
actually one of the past chairmen.
This might be a silly question, but is that just specific to the hospitality industry? Is that like our Asian American businesses, just that kind of percentage across the board? Why this industry, do you think?
Actually, it started, our people started investing in the hospitality business back in 1960s in California. I started from California.
Okay.
The main reason for that was, you know, you can have your entire family working for you.
Right.
Within the household. And at that time, majority of the hotels owned by us was independent hotels. They were looking for the distressed hotels.
Okay.
Put some hard-earned money in it and work and hours and rehab the hotel and just turn it around and make some money and at the same time take care of the family.
Okay. That makes sense. So it's a good sort of a good family-owned proposition.
Right. And majority of these members are either Patels or Shahs.
Yeah.
So it's a big community.
Not to generalize, but.
Right. And it's a known fact.
Yeah.
Because the majority of the hotel owners comes from one particular state in India.
Okay.
Which is called Gujarat.
Okay.
And in India, by the last name, you can tell that which state this person is from.
Interesting.
So Patels are not all cousins or relatives.
Yeah.
It's just a big name, just like Smith and Jones
sure.
in this country.
Sure.
So, are there still opportunities out there in the market for finding some of these places that are kind of, I feel like we've had on a number of hotels that were refurbed. You know, they took an old property and said, oh, there's a business opportunity. We can do a lot with that. Right. Do you think there's still hotels here in the Atlanta area or opportunities for that kind
quite a few.
Turnaround?
Quite a few. Because of this downturn in the economy. A lot of people are losing their hotels because the current mortgage holder does not want to work out with them, and they are putting it up for foreclosure or sell the note to somebody else.
Right.
And just a recent example, right here in downtown, Days Inn, which is being bought by some management company or investment company from Florida, which is also Asian American, and they'll be converting that hotel to a loft.
Oh, wow.
Totally new brand. That will be their first brand in Atlanta. So that will bring some new kind of perspective to the clientele in Atlanta to serve that niche market.
So as a member, what are some of the things that are there events? How do members interact with each other and get the benefit of being a member of the association and getting to know other hotel owners that they can learn from?
Right. We have about 18 regional meetings. As a matter of fact, there is one going on today in Anaheim. along with CLIA, there's a local association there. So we join hands with any like-minded association and arrange the meetings. Normally, a regional meeting brings about 400 to 500 people. A lot of vendors comes there to sell their product. When I was a chairman, we introduced the co-op society, where all the vendors can come and sell their product at the best available price in the marketplace. We also started our own online travel agency. Since we have all these members, and our membership owns about 45% of the hotels in this country, so we said, no, why Expedia take all the money and not pay the taxes to the local government? Let's start our own so we can be a good citizen and pay the taxes to the local government also. Because everybody needs money now.
Yeah.
Everybody needs money, including local government. So that's what we started. Of course, we don't have the budget like Expedia has for the marketing it. So we'll be doing direct marketing to the consumer.
So what is it called? How do you find it?
It's called mybesthotelrate.com.
Okay.
So if you go to that site, you'll see all the hotels. And that site is not just for the HOA members only.
Yeah.
That site is open for any hotelier who want to put their hotel on there.
I gotcha.
To sell the rooms. So.
And then is it like really the best deal for consumers? Because I feel like, you know, we were talking on our last show earlier today about kind of the internet and social media and all these things and, you know, sort of weeding through the bad to find the good or the one that's going to stick or and I feel like the travel sites, my goodness, there's so many of them now that you sort of, I think people sort of get comfortable with one. If you're an Expedia person, you just always go there. If you're a Hotwire person, you always go there.
Right.
But then, you know, you have, I don't know about you, but again, like I hate that I'm always dating myself on every radio show. But, you know, somebody like a younger sibling or in my family will come and say, well, have you looked at this website? This is the best one. And then someone else will say, oh, have you looked at this? This is where you really get the best deal. So, yeah. I mean, is my – say it again. It's my best hotel right now.
Yeah, my best hotel.
Oh, look, I remembered it. That's good.
Right, right. That's a good site. We started it last year and it's still growing.
Yeah.
A lot of members are putting their properties on their site.
Right.
And let me just tell you.
But you're sort of going direct to the property that way.
Directly to the property.
Okay.
Right. Right.
Okay.
And Expedia, yes, is a great site to find the hotels because you can see all mix of hotels there.
Yeah.
But they weigh, I'll just give you a classic example. Suppose if you are paying $100 through Expedia.
Yeah.
The hotelier is just getting $70.
Right.
$30 they keep.
Right.
On that $30, county or state does not get any taxes.
Yeah.
So the concept on what we have started is just like a travel agency. We'll just charge 8% commission, which is the cost of running the business.
Sure. Right?
No profit. We are non-profit.
Right.
Right. So the majority of the money will go to the hotel owner or the property owner, and they'll be paying the taxes on their entire amount to the local and state government. And our whole goal is to help everybody out instead of just letting one big giant make the money.
Yeah. Interesting. There seems to be, I mean, as a consumer, it's like you feel like you're getting the best deal, but when you think about it like that, that $30 is just going to Expedia, that's frustrating.
Yeah, it is.
I'm a little annoyed now.
Well, no, and especially with the idea of the local economy. And I mean, the hotel industry is such a big industry. There's a lot of legislation and things that go on from a government standpoint that affect hotels. Is that part of what the Asian American Hotel Owner Association is help people stay in tune with what's going on or get involved? Or
right, right. Anything goes on which is going to hurt the hotel industry, we step up to find a solution for it, and we lobby for it also.
Are there specific things that are going on right now that are like...
Right now is... The one thing is going on nationwide is this tax issue, what this online travel agency is not paying. So there are a lot of legislations
going on
that. And we support all those legislations that online travel agency has to pay the taxes to the local government. Because what's going to happen if the local government does not get the taxes where they were supposed to get? They'll come up to the hoteliers to collect the taxes. So it will be extra burden on the hoteliers.
Well, when
also.
You check out of a hotel, a lot of times you'll see how different – it's interesting as you see how each city's taxes are structured, right? So it's like your hotel stay, and then there might be – I mean, I've stayed at places where there's like another 12 line items that are all individual taxes from
that
city,
true.
County.
And something is very unusual that anytime any city or the state has to increase the taxes, they look at the hotels first. thinking that outsiders come and utilize the services of the hotel, so let's collect the taxes from them. The local government does not dare to increase the taxes in the restaurant where people go eat or buy other things, right? So the hotels are always a big target.
Interesting. You're an easy target.
Easy target for the government to get some more money from.
So what are some of the other things that hotel owners need to, like, be aware of, or challenges that they face in the day-to-day operations of their property or managing multiple properties?
There are a lot of challenges right now. You know, about a couple of years ago, there was an issue going on for Employee Free Choice Act, unionization. That can be very detrimental for the smaller hotels.
Because right now, it puts your costs through the roof?
It's just not the cost. It does increase the cost, but it also takes away your relationship with your employee, right?
Gotcha.
Right now, the way we work, you know, we work as a team. So everybody works together to take care of the customer. That's the notion right now in the hotel industry. But when the union comes there, then they have a specific job and they won't help other team member doing something else, right? And that does not work in the hotel industry because we are service business. We're supposed to provide the service. We're supposed to take care of the guest. And whoever walks in, we have to treat them well.
Right.
So
that's
we have to
job.
Work as a team, as a family.
Right.
So it takes the family concept away from the hotels.
I actually worked in a union hotel when I was in college in Washington, D.C., and it was very interesting. It was a very different, you know, I remember the, I don't know why the housekeeping department is standing out to me of all of them, but I know the housekeepers were unionized, and I remember them being very, very clock-oriented instead of customer-oriented.
Right.
They were on the clock, and when it was 3 o'clock or whatever the time was, they were out of there, and, you know, there were very specific...
So it changed the culture.
I think so.
Right.
And it was a huge property. So, I mean, probably to some extent that, you know, it was a, I don't remember how many rooms, but huge property in D.C. And, you know, I don't know how family oriented it would have been anyway at that size.
Right.
But
what I'm talking about is a mid-scale, smaller properties.
Well, because you're right. The laws come in and they're great for the big properties. But, right, exactly.
Right.
But they affect
everybody. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Now, there's also, I'm curious to learn more about how the franchising piece works, because most of these hotels are like a big brand name, but then they're franchised. You have to know a lot about how franchises work and how to work within that concept. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, franchising is one of the best concepts USA has, which gives a confidence to the consumer when they travel, that if they stay at this flag, you know, what kind of services they'll be getting. So it's a great concept, but the franchise agreement is getting worse and worse day by day. So for the investor, it's becoming a nightmare.
Okay.
Because all the franchisors are competing to get their share in the marketplace. I'll just give you an example. Like there's a franchise A and B. They're competing. Now, franchisor of the A has no other location because of their contract to build another hotel, and their hotel is doing about 80% occupancy. They'll find a franchisee, another name, and put in the same marketplace.
Right.
It takes away from franchisee, which is their own brand. Right. So eventually investor gets hurt, but they're making still the same money. Right. Amenity creeps. They'll say, okay, you have to use these towels.
Yeah.
Right. What we are saying, that okay, give us the specification of the towels, that what kind of fabric you want in it and all those things. We'll go to all the mills, ask them to produce the towel to your specification, and let them compete to benefit us, right? They said, nope, you have to buy from this particular company and this particular vendor.
Right.
At the same now, the price is what they charge you, which is a lot higher than we can buy it in the marketplace.
Right.
Right? So they're making tons of money as a kickback in between. They don't call it kickback.
Of course not. Right? That would be bad.
That would be bad, right? But you can tell.
What it is.
Right?
Yeah.
That amount of money they're charging. And a classic example, since last 3 years, all the hoteliers are losing their shirt because there is no occupancy. There is a lot of expenses. Everything has gone up, electricity, labor cost, insurance, name it. Everything has gone up, right?
Right.
And the rates has gone down.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And the franchisors are saying, okay, you buy everything from us only. And they're charging more and more prices on that to make up their profit where they're losing money on the royalties. Right?
Yeah.
So if you see the Wall Street, they're, all these franchise companies are sowing the profit.
Right.
And it's mind-boggling. How can they make the profit where there is no occupancy in their hotels?
Right, because right? they're...
So they're making money elsewhere.
Squeezing on the
franchisees.
So do you think with that there could potentially be a trend to go back to having more independent hotels? Because I feel like maybe, and maybe I'm wrong in this industry, maybe it's not quite there yet, but there is certainly a desire in the marketplace for things that are local and things that are independently owned, and right. people find that's appealing, I think,
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, it is. It is possible in destination places, just like Atlanta downtown or
sure.
Athens, Georgia, where the UGA is, right?
Right, but if you're on the highway.
So it's the destination places where you can create your own market.
Yeah.
And people know who you are and you're better than the franchise, right?
Right.
You can gain the market share there. But it is not good for the interstate property because traveling people, they look for the flag or the franchise just to make sure that they have a good night's sleep.
What's a comfort level? Like
right,
you said, it's knowing
level.
What you're getting. You know you're
right.
getting those overpriced towels, but at least you know what they are.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a mixture that it all depends on the location where you want to put. There are quite a few of our members are building independent boutique hotels.
Yeah.
There are a few in New York. They were built in Savannah. There's a Peach State Inn, which is an all-suite hotel, better than any franchise.
Yeah.
Right? But he has a market share of their city, you know, because everybody knows that this is the place we need to go to.
I would love to see that trend continue because it seems to me also with current technology,
right.
like maybe, you know, back in 1988, which we were mentioning, you know, you couldn't really do some of the things you could do now because now you can see pictures online of a property.
Right.
You can read reviews online.
Right.
There are a lot of independent companies doing reviews.
Yep.
You can get them into your awesome independent property and they're rating it. And you're, you know, you have that online capability now to sort of get the word out.
Right.
And also, you know, heaven knows with a good marketing agency that's going to create a good looking logo for you and a good looking brand. And some, you know, smart people in that part of the world, in the advertising world, you could probably create something pretty cool without having to be a Days Inn or a W or
flag.
Whatever.
No, you are right. But the biggest hurdle there is who's going to give you the money to build that product unless you are filthy rich.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And investing your own money.
Aren't we all filthy rich? Oh,
majority of the banks are looking for a franchise.
They need a brand name.
They need a brand
name.
They haven't
caught up.
Just to give them a comfort level that, okay, you know, if you invest in this brand, our money is safe.
Yeah.
So it's a catch 22.
It is.
It's a catch 22.
What about the, could that, I'm totally thinking out. I have this interest in the hospitality industry, obviously, or we wouldn't be doing this show, but.
Well, because you're so well educated in the hospitality
I have a background
industry.
In the hospitality industry.
Yes.
So
no,
I went to
good.
A little school in upstate New York to study that back in the day. But my thought is maybe the people that are already successful with some of those franchises could then do an independent because the bank already knows them.
That is true.
Okay.
That is true.
All right.
Yeah.
So,
there's
there's hope. There's hope.
There's hope.
I mean, a lot of the people that own hotels own more than one. I mean, the whole idea, I think, is you get one, it goes well, you
that
make money, let's look at our next property.
Right.
So a lot of your members own multiple properties, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
And that's fairly typical.
Yeah, we did a survey. Each member owns close to about 2.5 properties.
Gotcha.
Minimum, right? So
of varying sizes and brands.
Varying
and all
sizes
of that.
And brands, including independent and everything. So
interesting.
It's about our survey says that we own about close to 45,000 hotels in this country.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Now, the association has a lot of like vendors that kind of court you, or do you have specific sponsor organizations that support the association? Because I'm sure there's companies that are dying to get in front of all of the thousands of hotel owners.
Right. We have a lot of vendor partners. We call them partners because we do business together. They come to our annual convention. We had one in Atlanta last year. Actually, this year, not last year.
How'd you pick which hotel to have it at?
It was at the Omni and the convention center.
Do people have to like draw straws for that? We'll take it. No, we'll take it.
Actually, we were trying to bring the convention to Atlanta since last 7-8 years, but their pricing were not coming in line with other competing cities.
Interesting.
And we had to work really hard to bring it here.
So who's beating us? What are those competing
Vegas,
cities?
Houston,
okay.
San Antonio, and all the cities has a lot of things to offer.
Yeah.
Atlanta does not have as many things to offer. So we have to be compatible in the pricing when you want to bring the convention, because when you go to the convention, the attendees are looking for a lot of other things. So what they're going to do in the evening time, what they'll be doing this time. Nowadays, right. Now we have better facilities. We have an aquarium there. We have Coca-Cola moved there.
Yeah.
Olympic Park is there.
Yeah, we're getting there.
So we are getting there. So we are
right.
We
but
are
10 days
there.
Is a long time. That's a lot of tourist attraction.
And
yeah,
we are close to about 3,500 to 4,000 people at
wow.
the convention, and we had about close to 400 vendors showcasing their product at the convention. So that was a lot of.
That's a lot of people to take on the CNN tour all
yeah,
in
right.
one
exactly.
day.
Yeah, exactly. So there's like, isn't there a big annual hotel show in New York every year at the Javits?
Yes, NYU.
Yeah.
Yep.
And do you guys, do you have a, does your organization have a presence there as well?
Oh, yes, we normally go there, and sometimes we keep a booth there also to showcase our association and what we do and stuff like that. And we are also doing a lot of things to educate the members in the current marketplace, because trend is changing in this new environment of the e-commerce.
Right.
Well, right. So, I wanted to ask you, how are those trends affecting the business?
Well, it's actually helping. It's opening up the marketplace, just like we were talking earlier, right? That the consumer can go online and find the products, see the pictures and everything. So it's educating consumer that is, okay, the franchise is not the only places they can go. There are a lot of boutique hotels they can go to also and have a pleasant stay. So it's changing. Marketing, the way you market your product is changing day by day. A lot of new ways to market your products. In the marketplace, so everything is changing. Actually, we have a TV show on every Sunday. It is a half an hour show, which talks about any burning issue which is going on in the hotel industry or for a small business, right?
Oh,
and
where do people
tell
find
us
that?
About that?
That's cool.
Yeah, it's on actually our Indian channel.
Oh, cool.
It's called Sahara, right? It comes on 12 o'clock every Sunday, 12 to 12:30, and it talks about. Anything going on in Washington, D.C. which can hurt your business, like healthcare issues or ADA compliance issues or this Employee Free Choice Act unionization, NRLB. So there are a lot of things we talk about there and to educate the membership, and just not our membership. TV show is open to everybody.
Anybody, yeah.
Right. So,
now, is that produced here?
It is produced in New York.
Okay.
Right. The company is a TV channel is in New York. So our people go to New York and all the experts go to New York. And,
very cool.
And as a matter of fact, our own senator from here, Chip Rogers, is the host.
Ah, very cool.
Right. He's a majority leader here in Atlanta,
yeah.
in Georgia. And he's our host and he's doing excellent job hosting that show.
Very cool.
Yeah. And on top of that, we also believe in the community service at AHOA because we always believe that, and my personal feeling is, yes, India is my motherland, but we always think that America is homeland because it has provided us what we needed to survive and raise our families. So we always give back to the communities where we live and who has supported us. So. After 9/11 in 2002, me and there is another colleague who was with me on the board at that time, we came up with a program called 101,000 Room Nights Program, where we were giving the vouchers to all these deployed soldiers when they came back to this country.
Oh, wow.
We were giving them free room nights.
That's awesome.
Right. And when I was a chairman, I relaunched that program, but this time we called it Salute to Soldier, because it is time to salute them. They have been fighting overseas in the heat.
Yeah.
To protect us here, keep us safe here.
Yeah.
So we changed the name to Salute to Soldiers, and the USO has taken the charge to launch this program, and they're distributing the vouchers for us. Another association who has been helping us is TAPS, Treasury Assistant Program for Soldiers, Fallen Soldier.
Yeah.
So when their nice. Family is traveling, they give them free hotel vouchers.
Wow.
And our
That's
members
awesome.
Members has to participate in the program.
Yeah.
And I think last year we gave out almost 56,000 rooms.
That's so nice.
To the soldiers.
I love hearing about stuff like that. I got the chills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because I think, you know, that's especially nice in a way because it's like you're not doing it as a marketing tool. Like you're just doing it because it's the right thing to do.
Right.
It's not something that everybody's hearing about like, oh, look what they're doing. It's really just to be good to the community that you live in. And that is
true.
The best way.
We owe a lot to this country.
Yeah.
Because this country has given us a lot. My children are educated here. They're doing well.
Yeah.
We have good food and shelter.
Yeah.
And a better living environment.
Right. So, and opportunity.
And opportunity and everything.
So opportunity to be hotel owners and all that good stuff. Yeah.
Right. Because when I came here, I was fortunate. I mean, some of my our members came here with $8 in their pocket when they came here. I was fortunate enough to come here with $2,000.
I thought you were going to say, like, I had $16, so I was lucky.
Right. Because my father had sent me money from overseas to buy my first car so I can go to work and school.
Right. Right. I bet your kids are like, $2,000, that's not enough.
No, they want $20,000 minimum now. Right.
So, the generational expectation.
Right. Yeah, it's a little different.
You talk to my son, Deepam.
Deepam, he's a great kid. Right, really smart. I really enjoyed getting to know him. We're at Deepam's actually got some friends in the restaurant industry, and he's going to hook us up with some good guests coming on.
Yeah, he's excellent cook himself.
Wow.
Yeah, he prepares a lot of dishes. Not the Indian dishes.
A nice good American food.
Nice good American dishes, right.
We can get him to come on and bring us some food. We like food in this studio. Right. We like gifts.
Yeah. Right. We like hospitality.
That's right. We're very into that.
He doesn't live that far from here, so you can go to his place.
Oh, there you go. I'm sure he'll appreciate that.
As we are in the hospitality business, we always welcome people to open door
policy.
Places.
Come on.
I love it.
I love it. Well, where can people go to find out more about the Asian American Hotel Owners Association if they're interested in joining or searching for a property?
Very easy. It is called Asian American Hotel Owners Association, but it is open for anybody who wants to become a member of the association.
So very inclusive.
Very inclusive. You can go to ahoa.com, AAHOA.com. And you can get all the information, including current officers who are running the show.
Right.
Our president is Fred Schwartz. He's actually from New York. He used to work for one of the big hotels in New York also.
Gotcha.
And he was a part of the Olympics here in Atlanta. And from there, we picked him as our president. And he has been serving us ever since 97.
Wow.
Great, great guy. And I think I'm the second longest serving of the association. So
it's a really terrific community, and we're definitely looking forward to spotlighting some more of the properties here on the show.
Sure.
So thank you so much for coming on and being our guest today.
Thank you for having me.
CK Patel. And that's it for Southern Hospitality. Thanks for tuning in to BusinessRadioX.com. I'm Elizabeth Gordon.
And I'm Dana Barrett, and we will see you right back here next week. She said, hopefully.